In order for us to prepare the world for the return of the Imam, the world needs to know what they're getting into. That when somebody is running for election, there's campaign lies. They tell us, they give us promises, a lot of empty words. They tell us, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And we know it's campaign lies, but I want you to compare that with what you see from the words of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi as-salam. I'll give you the example of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then you see why our responsibility is here. Islamic leadership, divine leadership, is transparent with the people. People need to know what they're getting into. We're not trying to fool them. We're not trying to tell them a white lie. We're not trying to convince them to somehow make a mistake, get us in, and then after that they're shocked. We're transparent. With who? The fawas? The elite? No, with the masses also. In the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, as you know, the people came and they surrounded him to his house. They're insisting, only you, no one else. We want you. The Amir al-Mu'mineen saw the insistence of the people, the demand of the people. He says this openly to the people. He says, "I'lamu, know this, anni an ajabtukum arkabu bikum ma a'lam." Know this, everybody, ayyuhan nas, if you elect me as your leader, if the words of the Imam, if I accept your call, if I do ijaba, that means I'm going to practice, I'm going to guide you the way that I know. I'm not hiding anything. Islam that I know, I'm going to implement that. More than that, Amir al-Mu'mineen is transparent with the people. He even let them know some of the things will be big changes even in your personal lives. Before you elect me, before you support me, do you want that? Amir al-Mu'mineen is transparent with the masses. Okay, how does that relate to you and I? With you and I, our Imam is waiting for us. Our job as Shia is to make sure the people know what they're getting. There are certain parts of Islam, if you say Islam is the most democratic form of government on the face of the earth, other people say Barakallahu Fikum, wonderful. But when you say other parts of Islam, there's other things people might not like. Do you share those? Or do maybe you pick and choose, right? Choose the favorite parts, trick them first, let them get into Islam, let them accept. Don't go over and tell them what it is from the beginning. Which one? This is a fundamental question for us, brothers and sisters, for all of us, inshallah, to be aware of this. What we're saying is that Islamists wants us to be open to tell people what they're getting. In the hadith that I just read before, it says, فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ لَوْ عَلِمُوا مَحَاسِنَا كَلَامِنَا لَتَّبِعُونَا. If the people knew the beauty of our words, they would follow us. They would follow us. It doesn't mean the tyrants will like us. When you say Quds Day, the Zalimeen are like, Alhamdulillah, wow, we were just missing that. Do you expect that? It's a question for us. When they hear that our Prophet said, Afdhalul Jihad, the best type of jihad, Kalimatu Haqqin, and the Sultan and Ja'ir, that telling the truth to a tyrant, in the face of a tyrant, not being afraid, explaining what Islam is, do you think the tyrant will also say, Barakallahu Fikum? When I say my stance on oppression, whether oppression is overseas, whether it's in Palestine, whether it's here in England, whether it's there in America, oppression, we say that we're supposed to be khasm for the zalim. Am I expecting the zalim to also applaud? No, I know the zalim's not going to applaud. I'm trying to explain to the people what they're getting into. Yes, Islam is opposed to oppression. And then after we do that, we don't need to worry.